parable, he says it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. Because it never knew him, he's going to say, they're going to say, but we knew you. He will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Do you have the witness of the Spirit inside your heart that you belong to Jesus Christ? Now that's the fifth symbol, the tree. The sixth symbol is the branches of the tree. And you may press this for all it's worth, because Jesus did in the first two parables. The branches represent those obvious outward divisions within the outward visible church. We would primarily call them denominations. And they are gigantic branches, Jesus said. So there's an abnormal, ungainly, unusual growth. And the seventh symbol is the birds. Now, go back to the first parable. Let me ask you, what do the birds stand for? Say it out loud. Somebody say it. What did the bird? Remember, the birds came down when the seed was scattered along the wayside and picked it up and went off and devoured it? All right, Satan, the devil. All right, so the birds here represent the agents of the devil that are infiltrating into that great outward show of the church, so that you can hear anything. Should you chance into any pulpit of this land today, you can hear as many different things, and some of it is just nonsensical foolishness. Why, what man with sanity would stand up representing Jesus Christ and preach book essays? What man with sanity? What man with sanity would stand up to represent Jesus Christ and talk about the United States going to the moon? Well, you can read about that in your daily newspapers. You can see that on the television any day. It's just a totally nonsensical thing. You see, the birds have infiltrated the outward, overt demonstration of the great visible church. They are the agents of Satan. Jesus Christ plainly said it. Now, we would not have been so confused if we had just listened to him. And friend, that leads me to say this. You'd better be careful when you choose a church. You have no right to choose a church of your own choice. None whatsoever. I've had people say to someone on our church staff, oh, we're going to Brother Hodges' church. Friend, forget it. I want us to go to God's church. And if this is not it, go find one that is. If this is against all odds, if God puts you here, come here, because this is where you belong. This is where you're to minister, and this is where you're needed. All right, quickly now, let's explain the intention of Jesus as we look at this parable. First, he warns against a tragic abnormality in the visible church. Now, let me illustrate that, and I'm not being unkind to anyone, because this is true of this church also. But in 1969, I made my first trip to Israel. And while we were in the Mediterranean bowl, we went to Rome. And when we were in Rome, we were conducted by a beautiful, gracious, middle-aged woman, brilliant woman. I got to talk with her privately and personally several times and just thoroughly pumped her mind about the things we were seeing. And I remember we came to St. Peter's Basilica, the Vatican, near the Vatican. And the Pope's apartment is up there on the right side. You can see the outward side of it. And we went into the great basilica with its varying porches. And I remember she took us in, and so graciously she explained everything we saw. She said, this has this dimension to it. She didn't say anything about the big gold emblem right here above the inside, solid gold. We got inside the front doors, just inside what we would call the vestibule, and there's this long, gigantic building, one of the, if not the biggest church building in the world, certainly one of the largest. Spreads all the way back there, has these large, high walls, gigantic, high ceiling, and porches off in several directions, all down through there. We ran into a cardinal's funeral that day, way back in the far corner. Didn't even know it was taking place until we got down there and turned the corner. Right there, right out in the open, they were having this cardinal's funeral. And so we finished going through. She explained the various things to it, and we got back to the bus. And I hurried back to the bus so I would get there before anybody else did. I wanted to get the front seat next to her where she sat, because I wanted to ask her something. And she sat down. Everybody got in place. The bus started to roll, and I said, do you mind me asking a few questions? She said, not at all. I said, we went in that building, and you pointed out all the dimensions. You told us the number of feet it was from the front door to the back door and across and down the porticos, down the porches, down the various aspects of the building. You told us all the dimensions of it. There's one thing that was conspicuously absent from your lecture. You didn't say one thing about the extravagance of that building. And that building is undoubtedly worth hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And here's what she did. She lowered her voice because I found out she could not say anything subversive in front of that bus driver. She would be reported and fired and maybe even jailed. She raised her finger and here's what she did. She whispered. She said, "I don't believe in that." I said, "You don't believe in that? Are you a Roman Catholic?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Then what do you believe?" She said, "I cannot stomach all of that extravagance." I said, "Then what do you do? Do you worship here?" She said, "Never." I said, "What do you do?" She said, "I take my family and we go out to a little wooden chapel on the edge of Rome that has no windows in it at all, has no nails in it, it's made completely of wood. The seats are benches and they have no backs on them, and there we worship God every Sunday." I said, "I'm interested in finding out about you." I said, "Do you know about Baptists?" And she said, "No." I said, "Could I take a minute and tell you what we believe?" And so she said, "Yes," and I just explained to her the gospel. And she smiled and said, "I would make a good Baptist." I said, "Why?" She said, "I came from Hungary in 1938. My father, now get this, my father was a Calvinist." I don't know where she got that term. Apparently he gave it to her. "My father was a Calvinist. My mother was a Roman Catholic." She said, "I believe like my father, but I go to church with my mother." I said, "That's fantastically interesting. Tell me what you believe about Jesus Christ and how you're related to Him." And she explained to me the most vivid statement of salvation by grace through faith without using the terms I've ever seen. I said, "My sister, I believe you're saved. I believe you know Jesus personally." But I'll never forget, when I went away from that encounter and got back to our hotel that night, there kept ringing in my mind this right here: "I don't believe in that. I can't stomach all that extravagance." Now, this is what Jesus is talking about here. But now be awfully careful. You see, this church has done exactly the same thing. Exactly. And I am astounded at how many people put stock in this instead of them. They're totally willing to invest in all of this, but to find them one-on-one relating to a person, they either cannot or won't. And they violate Jesus Christ. Completely, totally. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Number one, do you pay more attention to the organization of the church or the organism of the church? You see, if you pay more attention to the organization of the church, you're sooner or later going to get hurt. That's what others call politics in the church. And it'll hurt anybody who gets in front of it. How many people there are who have been members of this church in the past who dropped out because they got hurt, ground down by the politics and organization of the church? But how many people there are who have been rescued because some one person regarded the church as an organism and they were individual cells in that organism. They picked up the cell and carried it forward, growing it in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a second question. Are you more interested in tree growing or seed sowing? Be awfully careful. Tree growing is putting together the institution. Everybody's worrying about the church. And when you get in a transitional period like this church has gotten into, everybody's worried about what are we going to do? What about the future and all this? And I find you can find 100 of those for one person who will sow seed. And the church does not go forward on that kind. As much as you may think so, it goes forward on this kind. On those who just constantly never stop. They're always sowing seed. I was out almost all day long yesterday by myself. I didn't have anybody go with me that time. I went out. I enjoyed it thoroughly, just sowing seed. Just going out and reaching in the bag and scattering it out everywhere. Love it. That's what the church is all about. I don't mean to be unkind, but that's what it's for. You see, when we become concerned with our prestige, and many of us are, with our status in the community, and many of us are, with our image, and many of us are, and with seeking the patronage and admiration of the world, and many of us are, then we have forfeited that pungency that is characteristic of the gospel of Christ. All right, let me close. What's the way of true advance for the church? Now, be awfully careful to listen to me here. Rechannel your thoughts back this way.
mustard shrub.